When early starts and late nights begin to clash, it's time to ask Auntie. Welcome to our aunties, Joe Sullivan, journalist and producer. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Nice to see you. And Amy Middleton, writer and founder of Archer Magazine. Welcome.
Thank you.
Your first time auntie.
Yeah, nice to be here.
We'll be very gentle with you. Joe, coming from the world of breakfast TV and radio, how have you managed having a different sleep schedule from your partner and the rest of your family?
Oh, boy, what a question. Not very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was probably one of the rare people when I was working on breakfast TV and now breakfast radio where sometimes I would be a heavy napper during the day and effectively have two sleeps of 4 or 5 hours. It's not good for your body.
Yeah. And also really hard for spending time with your family who
100%.
Are not on that schedule.
So, and that's the thing. I was trying to time my sleep so I could be there for the family. But when you're in this constant state of waking up, trying to go to sleep, it got to a point, point blank, my wife said to me, "You're grumpy all the time."
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Amy, how does lack of sleep affect you?
So badly. Yeah. It's one of my big scourges of my life, lack of sleep. I am currently quite fatigued because my kid woke me up through the night.
Okay. All right. It's really good to have you both here. This is probably going to hit home for both of you. So let's hear what Timothy, who wrote our letter this week, is going to share with us. So Timothy says, "My partner and I have two young kids, so we usually go to bed at 9-ish and try to get as much sleep as possible between kid wake-ups. It's especially important for me because I start work at 6 a.m. and work about an hour away, which has me setting alarm for 4:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Can relate.
Yuck.
Yep. Can relate also. Given how exhausted we both always are, we've never even thought to talk about this arrangement. But this month, my wife was keen to go out for drinks with workmates, and I was excited for her to have a night to let loose." Joe, this situation, the non-existent social lives of parents with young kids, again.
Can relate.
Can relate.
Yeah, this is a great scenario to be discussing.
Yeah. And Amy, what's jumping out at you about this scenario? Is any kind of warning sign about this arrangement?
Anytime there has not been a conversation, it's a big red flag for me. But yeah. I can relate to both people in this letter. I fill my cup by going out with friends.
Yeah.
Extrovert. There you go. And so I think it's really important to get your needs met, particularly when you're a parent.
Mm. I reckon you're a bit of an extrovert too, Joe.
extrovert, introvert, I think.
Yeah.
but I think this is interesting because I think sometimes when you're a parent and, you know, young kids involved here, you can sort of fall into a bit of a malaise, I think, of just sort of accepting like this is it for a while. And so when something like this comes up, I can understand it being a bit of a spanner in the works.
Yeah. But also nice that he's excited for his wife.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As he should be.
That's right. Let's hear that loud and clear. Okay. Let's see how Tim's wife's night on the town turns out, shall we? Okay. So Tim says, "I assumed she'd be home around 11, and I'd just watch footy and go to bed once she was back. Although I'd never want to be the kind of partner who limits her in any way, I, of course, still worry about her when she's not home. Plus, I'm a light sleeper and figured if I went to bed at 9 and got woken at 11, I'd have a worse night anyway. But then the night arrived, and at 11... I found myself on the couch not having heard from her. I didn't want to text like a jealous husband. So around midnight, I tried to go to sleep." Amy, I think there is quite a bit to unpack in this section. What do you think?
Well, I can actually relate to this experience of Tim, was it?
Yes.
My longest relationship was my 10-year marriage, which happened to be with a touring musician.
Oh, wow.
And she would be at work, but it was late nights and I'm an anxious guy. And I would be at home slightly worried, also just overthinking the time of arrival. And it really drove me nuts. So I can kind of relate to Tim.
What about the expectation, though, Joe, of she's going out for a night on the town, but she'll be home by 11?
As my kids would say to me when I've said something dumb, bruh.
that doesn't sound very realistic.
It doesn't. That's why I'm giving the bruh vibes. I'm like, mate, come on. I think this goes back to a little bit about what you're saying, Amy, about the conversation needs to be had. If you're setting the expectations and not communicating that, you're not getting back the other way. It's like, actually, we're going to be doing X, Y, and Z. We're going to be doing this, that, and the other. And I think that's where this communication really needs to come into play.
As the segment's resident husband, auntie here representing today, speaking for all husbands, what do you think about his characterization of, I don't want to text like a jealous husband, that kind of thing. I don't want to be the partner who limits her in any way. I mean, I also feel like there's a lot of disclaiming happening here.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I'm immediately jumping to what I would have liked to have done in this situation.
Yeah, that's
myself,
what I want to hear from you.
Which is have that sort of chat. I mean, my wife and I are having this chat ourselves today. She's working in the city. She wants to catch up with friends after work, go out for dinner. Fantastic. Do you need me to come pick you up? What's the scenario? Have a little bit of a chat beforehand. What's it, you know, setting those sort of expectations. Okay, you're going to get an Uber home? Great, fantastic.
Do you set a curfew?
I think that is a very antiquated situation.
Okay.
Particularly, like,
Joe's body language now is deeply uncomfortable at the question.
I'm wondering if Joe sent this letter in.
No, we don't do that here. Amy, I want to ask you if you're Tim right now. I mean, you have said that, but in terms of like checking the clock, being jealous, how is that? I'm very interested in that, the choice of word being a jealous husband.
It sounds a little bit like a projection, doesn't it? I mean, I would never have called myself jealous. It's more about setting expectations and verbalizing them and then finding a compromise that meets everyone's needs.
Having a concern.
You almost can always find a space where everybody's like, okay with the situation, yeah. If you have the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got young kids. I mean, you do have to eventually come home and face the children, right? Okay, let's get to the final part of Timothy's letter. He writes, at 1 a.m., she finally got home and was drunk, so it was a bit noisy getting in, waking the kids and me. I know she's keen to do work drinks again next month. I don't want to be a downer on her fun, but is it reasonable to ask if she come home by midnight and she could try to check in once or twice during the night? Okay, new info here. So 1 a.m., I feel like sympathy for the wife and the way she's being characterized, to be honest.
Yeah, we're only getting one perspective here.
Yeah.
I tend to agree in this sort of situation. There's an element here of like, is this control or is this concern?
Yes.
And this is what I'm having a hard time unpacking here, because he might be feeling genuine concern and he might be aware that that could be seen as controlling. But I think he wants to set the curfew, and I'm a little bit repulsed by that. I know that's a strong word.
You'd be uncomfortable, right?
I'm uncomfortable because, like, at the end of the day, you're a husband and wife.
Yeah.
She's not your teenage daughter.
Yes. Okay. I love that you've said that, Joe. Thank you for that. I think it is really important to name that feeling of discomfort that we're having with the way the letters, the way the wife's behavior is being framed, Amy. So, but if we were to just step back and give it the most generous reading possible, which
that's
is
what I'll do.
Concern, what are your thoughts now in terms of what Tim is wanting to ask of his wife? Is it reasonable to ask if she come home by midnight?
Well, I think his wording literally in the first part of the letter was he wanted her to let loose. A part of letting loose is like having agency over your own behavior. And if she's showing up after a few beers, I mean, sounds like that was the plan anyway. If he is having trouble sleeping, that's an I statement that he maybe needs to communicate, as opposed to you were drunk. It's more, I had trouble sleeping. Can we set some parameters? I mean, the other thing that's coming up for me.
Yeah, it's actually two issues that are
it's maybe
getting
more
mixed together. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me personally, when I need to blow off some steam, I don't want to be parenting the next day. So
yeah.
I would just wonder if maybe they need to find a night where he doesn't have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning so she can actually feel free and liberated, which as a birth mother, that's something I need once
yes.
a month.
And it is also to think about Tim for a while, to think about his concern. It's not like it's unreasonable to be like, hey, do you know what time you might be home? Like, that's actually an open question.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's a fair question to ask. And
just so he knows what to expect, right?
Yeah.
And if it is going to be later, maybe send one text. That's not an unreasonable ask.
Yeah.
What do you think, Joe?
Look, I think having that check-in is handy. And, you know, I'm lucky that in my relationship, that generally happens. So, you know, my wife might be out. She might be having dinner. Hey, we're finished. I'm going to catch the train or catch the Uber or can you come pick me up? Great. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I just wonder as well whether it's not expressed in this, but I wonder whether there may be, you know, going back to that point about getting into a malaise, whether there might be just a hint of jealousy about the fact that this is going on. Mm. Maybe he hasn't had the opportunity to do it. If he's getting up early, he's certainly not doing that midweek. So is there a chance here for him to maybe get a quid pro quo, similar to sort of what you're
absolutely,
sort of saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody's needs can be a bit different. Maybe she doesn't need the check-in because she's a heavy sleeper. It's okay if he does.
So can I ask you two aunties, because you're so wise, you're so smart, you're so clever, you're so kind, do you mind just doing a bit of a role play?
Okay, sure.
All right.
This is not what I was expecting, but I'm
Let's just cast against type. You are Timothy.
Yes.
Amy. Joe, you are the wife. Go ahead, Tim/Amy. How are you going to have this conversation with your wife who came home drunk at 1 a.m.
Well, I'm good at this stuff.
Yeah, so you'll be hungover, by the way.
Okay, firstly, I'll wait till a couple of days later to make sure that the chat goes well. And I'm going to start with a positive. I am so glad that you got to go see your mates. I hope it was really fulfilling and that you feel really glad you did it, because I loved giving you that gift. Also, work was really tough for me that day. I wonder if we could put some parameters in place so that we both know what to expect from a night out. What do you think?
Thanks for the opportunity. I'll be doing it again.
Then I want to do it.
So I'm terrible in that situation. I'm more than likely, well, look, yeah, okay, fair enough. I'll see your point of view and apologize for rocking in and trashing the house and waking the kids up. Yeah, I would have been a bit of mayo put on that. But anyway, I think just it goes back to that conversation. But Timothy also might need to, there's other ways you can deal with this.
What about an alternative place of sleep? You know, well, spare room sleeping.
I was going to suggest she gets a hotel room with her girlfriend once a month.
He's also got the best thing he can do. He can organise an incentive for the next time. So organise a brunch for the following day.
Aunties, you are brilliant. Hope to have you back again soon. Supervising producer of Radio National Breakfast, Joe Sullivan. Amy Middleton, writer and founder of Archer Magazine. The email to write to Life Matters is lifematters@abc.net.au.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.